Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector in Chicago, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. The Expert Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. The Radio Pet Lady Network is partnered with my other enterprise, the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the remarkable bond between dogs and their people. I will be taking the festival across the United States, including Washington, D.C., East Hampton, New York, Rochester, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix. I hope to see you in New York City at the second annual Dog Film Festival on October 15th. You can find more information at dogfilmfestival.com. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Halo, holistic natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. Their new grain-free recipes, like Vigor, give you more healthy choices for your pet's dinner, while Daily Greens bring vitamins and digestive enzymes into your dog's diet. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by giving donations to shelters through freekibble.com for pets awaiting a forever home. I am back with Dr. Mike Petty, who curiously calls his book Dr. Petty's Pain Relief for Dogs. He is a veterinarian and a pain management specialist in Canton, Michigan. He was president of the International Veterinary Academy of Pain Management, which I didn't even know existed, and co-authored the 2014, which is pretty recently, AHA Pain Guidelines, AHA being the American Animal Hospital Association. This is a topic, as many of you know, very near and dear to my heart. Older dogs, arthritic dogs that are suffering mightily. And what do we do and how do we do it? This book is seriously, I think everyone, even with a brand new young dog, needs to have this book to start planning ahead, because all dogs get arthritis at the minimum. Many of them get ACL tears and other surgeries, and this book is going to make your dog's life so much better. Dr. Mike Petty, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I feel stupid, dumb, out of it to not even know that there was an International Veterinary Academy of Pain Management. Is that something that is a fairly new organization, or you've been quietly on the sidelines forever?
You know, it's been around for, I think, 10 years, 12 years, and it started out as a very small organization, and it has slowly gained traction to the point where we are now considered the preeminent organization for everything to do with pain with dogs, especially with animals, especially with chronic pain.
Now, you lecture, I'm hoping, to other veterinarians. They're the ones who need your help, in a sense, more than the pet owners, because they reach many of us with one conversation. Is it your feeling that there's been a change in veterinary medical school in how pain is looked at and taught? Certainly there's a big difference from 25 years ago, but even in the past, call it 5 years. Is there more of are vets being trained with more of an awareness that pain exists and can be managed and mitigated?
Yes, there is more training. Unfortunately, you know, the curriculum for any medical school, whether it's veterinary or human, is just jam-packed.
Right.
And pain, discussions about pain, diagnosis of pain, and pain management often take a backseat to a lot of the other information. So really, it is incumbent on veterinarians, even those that graduated, you know, this year, that they have to go out and really educate themselves further if they're going to really be proficient in pain management.
I think that I'm thinking back to the dark ages 20 years ago when, or obviously before that, when a dog after spay neuter or other surgeries, even much more invasive than that, were sent home with no pain meds at all. There was a belief, probably in your lifetime too, that either they didn't suffer pain or they had a high pain threshold, or the pain would be good because it would keep them from overexerting. Was that a belief system? I mean, I was the recipient with many dogs of that being the belief system. Was that what was believed?
Yes, it was. And, you know, I graduated from veterinary school 36 years ago this June. And so I've seen it all.
Yes.
And when you're absolutely right. When we were taught, no one really told us that dogs didn't feel pain, but they taught us that they handled pain differently.
Right.
And I don't know that that was an insensitivity. I think it was just what everyone believed. But also way back then, really the only things that we really had to treat pain with, acute pain, were things like opioids. And there was just a lot of misconceptions about their use. You know, we were told that you can't use them in cats, you can't use them in horses. And none of that has just all been proven wrong, because as time has gone on and research has been done, we found out, yes, you can't take and transpose the human doses onto all these other species and expect that it's going to work exactly right. And then, of course, starting back in 1996, I believe it was, the veterinary company Pfizer came out with Rimadyl, and that really changed the entire game of chronic pain management. And so as we've gotten more tools to treat pain, it has been embraced more.
But one of the things... we're not going to have time to talk in as much depth as I want to about the book, and I hope that you'll be able to make time to come back a second time, because I think that the topics in your book are so incredibly important, and it's been something that I'm very much aware of through many generations of dogs in my own life. If we begin on the idea of how to recognize the signs of pain in your dog, which is the first chapter, and sometimes first chapters can be skipped, but really... why I think it's so vital is, I would say that the majority of people listening right now, the majority of people that own a dog, kitties have arthritic pain and other kinds of pain as well, but probably not as much as dogs. Their dogs are in some amount of pain if they're over, pick a number, 5 or 6 or something years old. And I don't think people are recognizing, you know, they think, oh, they wait till the dog falls down after it struggles to stand up. I wonder if he's in pain. But I mean, that dog has been in pain for a really long time before that, not to mention just things like panting. So what are some of the kind of the bullet points of recognizing signs of pain? And then I might say, as your big fan, then you should get this book. Because if you recognize, if you learn and you hear, oh my God, those 5 things, the dog could be in pain. This book will help you figure out how to get your dog out of pain and live a better life. So what are some of those signs?
I think maybe a good way to address this would be to talk about when I see a client that is unaware of the sign of pain.
Okay.
Into my clinic. And they come into the clinic and they say, you know, Fido just doesn't want to play anymore. He's not interested in the toys. He doesn't want to walk across the kitchen floor. It's just too slippery for him. He just can't really go up and down the stairs anymore. He's just getting too old. He seems too lazy, but thank God he's not in pain.
But
it's totally understandable. When we are in pain, you know, we're lingual. We can talk about it. We can express that this hurts. And especially with chronic pain, you know, acute pain issues, of course, if you break a leg or something, you're going to scream or cry, and a dog is no different. Chronic pain issues, if we have arthritis in a hip or a knee, we don't walk down every step, go, ow, 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 ow. It's something that we've learned to accommodate with, but yet it limits our ability to do things, and it really does hurt. So when we have dogs in pain, it often we have to look at behavioral changes. And in the book, most of what I describe really is behavioral changes.
Right.
Occasionally they limp for us, but more times than not, they won't.
And it's not even that easy to do a pain exam on a dog. A dog that has arthritis in various joints. I mean, on my dog, Jazzy, I've done everything. I mean, she's on a cocktail every day of various things, which, you know, we probably won't have time to go into, but I'd love to have your thoughts on it. She's had stem cell therapy. She's had laser. She's had adequate injections. She's had joint injections. For her to stand up, not just stand up, but try to figure out how to sit and lie down again, it's torturous to watch. And that's with all the stuff that I've done for her. But I mean, a dog who doesn't want or is reluctant to go up or down stairs, or used to get on and off furniture and doesn't, or lying down seems awkward, that dog's really hurting. And that's something people just don't understand. As you say, they think they're older, they're lazy, they're bored, but they're just hurting a lot. So do you, I imagine that you see dogs, we all do, on a sidewalk, on a leash, or in a dog park, and you're looking at a dog in what I think of as screaming pain. Is it frustrating for you to know that you have many, many things you could offer those people and that dog would be having a happy, good life?
Yes, absolutely. And what you described with your own dog and what you asked the question about, they're really related. First of all, I'm really sorry that you've had so much trouble, you know, getting your own dog out of pain. And on the human side, and the statistic is something like 7 visits are required by a human to 7 different physicians before someone finally understands and can treat their pain.
I think many of us that have had chronic pain issues, I raise my hand, would agree that 5 is a low number, but you're right. That's really true.
Right. That's really true. And to the second part of your question, yes. I mean, sometimes I'm driving down the street and I see someone walking their dog and I honestly want to pull over and fling a business card to them, you know, and say, do you know your dog's in pain and are you getting proper treatment? I mean, some of these dogs might be, and maybe this is as good as it's going to get, but for a lot of dogs, there's really so much more that can be done.
And then when you mentioned Rimadyl and then Deramax followed it, I remember when they first came out and a couple of Labradors didn't do well on it because it can affect the liver. And so then there was a period where Rimadyl was viewed as something that might not be good for your dog. So just give it when the dog's really limping and lame, when of course these NSAIDs need to be used, as in people, on a constant basis. You don't wait for pain. It's supposed to keep the pain from rising to that level. It is one of the things, I don't know if you recommend to people whose dogs are on those kind of medications to get a blood test for their liver enzymes every 6 or 8 weeks, or do you believe in having them take Denamarin or some other kind of nutraceuticals that help protect the liver? Is that something that you focus on at all?
So, yes. So First of all, when an animal is on an NSAID, I do recommend that they're on it every single day. And there's lots of research out there that shows that even up to a year, you're getting improvements on a weekly, monthly basis if you're giving it daily. And yes, we do need to do some testing. We have to look out for issues like liver problems and kidney problems, but also, you know, NSAIDs are implicated in ulcer issues.
Right.
Unfortunately, there is nothing that you can give alongside of an NSAID that is going to help. A lot of people think that you give, you know, something along the line of Prilosec, that's going to help. You know, if you give it with you know, Maalox or whatever, that it's going to help. And it just doesn't, because it's a chemical effect, not a direct irritant effect. There's actually a brand new drug coming out, and it's in this new class of drugs called Piperance. And I could spend 2 hours talking about it, but
I want you to come back and talk about it, and I want a free sample. No, I'm only kidding. I could get a prescription. It's in a new class called a Piperant. That's a cool word.
Yeah, the Piperant class, P-I-P-R-A-N-T. And the name of the drug is called Galliprant, and it's put out by a fairly new company called Aratana Therapeutics.
Whoa.
And it hasn't been FDA approved yet, but this particular drug may be able to bypass that whole blood testing issue, ulcer issue, et cetera. The early research and the drug trials have not shown any sign of that. Of course, with any drug, just like with Rimadyl, it's not until it's being taken by tens of thousands of dogs
that
you start to see other side effects. But I think especially for those animals that have been unable to take NSAIDs, Galliprant's going to be an amazing new drug for them.
That's really great. And I noticed you have a – I'm going to invite you on Pet Food Advisors, my show on the Radio Pet Lady Network, and we'll talk at length about – things that you can eat, like omega-3 fish oils and so forth, and other nutraceuticals that may help. But one of your chapters is called In the Pain World, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 10. And I recently wrote a blog about that, how a cocktail is usually what works the best. And I have now met a lot of vets that don't have your special training who do understand that, but I don't think that the owners get it clearly in their head that the dog needs to take that combination of medications and joint supplements every day, in my dog's case, twice a day. You can't skip a dose. And I think that that's something that the book really makes clear, why and how these things work on the neurons and the pain receptors and the joints themselves, right?
Correct. And it really is a case where, you know, the total is much greater than the sum of its parts when you come to introducing different modalities, especially when you are using things like pharmaceuticals plus acupuncture, plus weight loss, plus
yes.
physical therapy. They really, really add up and do a great job.
One more thing that I want to say, and we're going to have to wrap up, but we're definitely going to continue this conversation. It's so important for everyone listening to realize that if you have a large breed dog of 5 or 6 years old, your dog has some degree or other of arthritis, and it's going to get worse. If they've had any kind of ACL repairs and so forth, like Jazzy had two of them, the arthritis comes faster and sooner and more violently, if you will, vigorously, and you need it even more. But one of the things that you talk about in the recognizing the signs is this inappetence, these dogs who won't eat. And people think, well, their dog's older and not doing much, so that's why their appetite is less. But you pointed out as a behavioral change, a big sign of pain. So we know in dogs and cats that any change in fluid or food intake is a sign to go to the vet. There's something wrong. And in this case, it's pain, right?
Right. It might be pain or it might
right.
be something else.
It could be
else,
something else, of course.
But yeah, yeah, yes. It's suspect and it needs to be investigated.
So I guess really the other message is don't just say, oh, well, she's old. Oh, well, he's old. And that's why he doesn't do this or he does do that. They're actually telling you, giving you lots of signs and symptoms that you should get Dr. Petty's Pain Relief for Dogs book because no matter how good your vet is, I believe that this book covers with such thoroughness and depth all of the things that are available to try and good, solid advice on which ones to use and how to use them together. I'm so excited the book exists and really hope that people will not Google my dog can't get up easily. You need to get a proper book written by someone who's dedicated his life to this and take a little time to understand about pain. It has great value. And there are all my dogs saying, that is the truth. Dr. Mike, this is a wonderful book. I'm very excited to meet you. I look forward to inviting you on more of my Radio Pet Lady Network shows. You have such fantastic advice and wisdom to share with everybody. Thank you so very much, and congratulations on this beautiful book.
Thank you, and I can't wait until we can talk again.
Marvelous. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening. Kiss your kitties and hug your pooches, and we will talk again soon. Bye for now.
This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado who has created many different low-dust litters for the health of all members of the family, cats or people with asthma and allergies. Precious Cat also makes litter for the special needs of many cats, from kitten-attract litter that helps youngsters develop good habits to cat-attract litter that helps those with out-of-litter box issues get back in the box. Precious Cat's Touch of the Outdoors litter provides environmental and enrichment, bringing to indoor cats the natural scent of the outdoors from field grasses grown in their own fields. This show is also brought to you by Meow Space, a clear ventilated enclosure that can be a one cat feeding space, a litter box station, or even a safe place to nap, designed so that only one cat with a unique access device can enter the see-through box. Meow Space is made in the USA to solve out of litter box problems and individualized feeding needs in multi-cat households. Big enough for large cats to do their business or small dogs to eat their own food in peace, Meow Space benefits the whole family because it also keeps dogs and small children out of the litter box too. Go to meowspace.biz. That's meowspace.biz to see for yourself. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to determine which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved oral spray custom-tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon.